And to remain standing with me, take your Bible, Psalms chapter 81. This evening, Psalms chapter number 81. We'll read verses 10 through 16 responsively this evening. I'll read verse number 10. You'll join me on verse number 11 all the way through verse number 16, Psalms chapter 81. Psalms 81, beginning in verse number 10, the Bible says this, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. Let's finish on verse number 16 together. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. And let's pray. May Father, Lord, was preached this morning, truly just a wonderful God. Thank you for what you are and who you are. Lord, this evening as I heard these testimonies, I just find it so amazing that, Lord, how as sinners, when we step out by faith, we watch the stories of the Word of God become real. Our lives don't replace those that are in the Word of God, but as we read the stories of the Word of God, we can reflect in our life the times that we obeyed and we saw the same thing happen. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for a man of God that preaches the Word of God. Thank you for our pastor and his leadership in our church. But this evening, we set all of us aside as humans, and Holy Spirit, we'll submit ourselves to you. We'll yield, Lord, to your presence has already been here. But as the Word of God is being preached, we'll ask in a special way that the mighty power of God would fall upon this place as the man of God preaches your Word. We'll yield ourselves to it looking, Lord, not just to learn something, but Lord, and how we could obey you more with our lives. We love you. We thank you for all that you'll do. We'll give you the glory for everything that takes place here tonight. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to introduce you again to Brother Jackson. Brother Jamie Jackson is a fine evangelist and a real man of God. He has a very unique style. He's one of those men, he kind of lures you in with his personality and his grin, and then he slaps you upside the head real quick. He's like, okay, where'd that happen? And then he gets you back and you start laughing again. He goes, boom, again. And I love this man. He's an encouragement to me. Many, many years ago, good night, Brother Jamie, we moved to Charleston 27 years ago. And he was just a scrawny teenager. He was still as tall almost then as he is now, but he was half as thick, but just as funny. And what an enjoyable young man. I remember when he was called to preach. I'm so very proud of him. You know, as you get older, you get to enjoy some things. Brother Hiles used to call it clipping coupons. After you stayed in the ministry as long as I have, you go somewhere and there's somebody in the ministry here and somebody there and somebody here and somebody there that you influenced. And you look back and you say, wow, that was a long time ago, but look what God's done. And then I look across this room and see what God's doing here. And it just encourages me. I hear your testimonies and makes me want to go out and get some more. Amen. But I want you to listen to him tonight. Here's a real man of God. I don't bring somebody in just because they're my friend. I bring somebody in because I believe they can help you as a church. But just so you know, these are the kind of guys I hang around. This is my crowd. And here's a young man that... he preaches bold, he preaches strong, he preaches true. And by the way, he'll fight the battle. He really will, and he has fought the battle, and he's stood his ground, and I'm so very proud of him. Brother Jackson, you come preach to us tonight. All right. Hey. Hey. Hey.
What a privilege it is once again to be here. I do not take lightly when I come behind what we call the throne, when we're representing our Lord and Savior.
Yes, sir.
Well, this afternoon I went back and forth. Sometimes I wonder if the sense of humor that God has, because oftentimes you'd be like, "Oh, go with this sermon," then all of a sudden they'd be like, "No, you should do this sermon," and be like, "You know what? You just need to carry both of those to the pulpit." And then right before you leave, he's like, "No. I'm just joking. Here's the one for you." Oftentimes I wonder if it's that, or sometimes it's the people that are in attendance.
Yes, sir.
Like, someone's like, "Hey, I'm going to come," and then God's like, "Hey, this is the one tonight." And then they don't come, and God's like, "Fine, let me give this one." But whatever it is, it's my job just to be faithful to him. Thank you guys for your love. Thank everybody. Well, I look forward to being here for the next few days, just enjoying you guys' family, church family that you have here. I'm definitely excited that you get the opportunity to get a little taste of what I got growing up as a teenager. It definitely was fun in the sun. Can I tell you this? If he ever was like, "Hey, let's go outside and play catch," don't ever do that. The multiple times that he was throwing pitches and stuff that he did not tell you about, and needless to say, I probably still have some beauty marks to show from some of those. Wow. Hey, I figured it was this. I was like, "Man, the Lord's coming back. You better get things right now. Somebody's warming up." That's what I was thinking. But, hey, I completely understand. I was just at a funeral. And when I was at a funeral, brother, I was right where you, I was on the third row. The family's right here. And all of a sudden, I knew that the church that I was in had no reception whatsoever. So I was like, "I know that there's no way I can get a phone call." So I still put my phone on vibrate. And all of a sudden, the preacher's preaching, and he says something that triggers my Google. And it's like, but it didn't give you the normal command. It was like, "Sir, you do not have internet, and if you were like request for what you just said, you need it." I'm like, I look like Fred Sanford. "Where am I? I'm coming to join you." I was like, "Oh, man. Boy, if I could disappear, boy, that would have been the time." One time I was in Montana. Well, I was preaching away, and phone would go off, and I was kind of ignore it and keep going. The phone would go off again, and I'm like, "Whose phone is that?" Then I was like, "Mom?" "Yeah, Mom, I'm preaching." "Love you too." All right, well, she was just checking on me. So we've all been there. I've been in churches where the phone rings, it's $100. Boy, immediately, as soon as the pastor said that, everybody was like, I'll just turn it off. No phone calls, you know, that important. Can you hear me now? Boy, that would be really, really bad if it cost $100. I'm not suggesting that pastor does anything like that whatsoever. Thank you for this gift bag. I see here, boy, shouting time. You know what I'm saying? It had absolutely everything there. Can I tell you? No, I mean, that's just the beginning. Here, by the way, can I tell you this? Pastor Fugate, I found out too, loves Reese's as much as I do. So if you want to be an encouragement to him, do the same thing. Because this, my friend, is what we call... Oh, even the little ones. Has anybody ever eaten these like while they're preaching? That would be good. Yep. And God said, "Oh man, that was a good one." Thank you so much. Hey, you can't be mad eating these. And God, amen. That was really good. That was really good. We find ourselves in Psalms chapter 81. Oftentimes when I look at scripture, sometimes I'm like, man, what a proud moment it would be to be there during that time. We think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Of course, nobody wants to go through the fiery furnace. But what a proud moment that you're one of the only few in history that could say, hey, I literally walked through fire with the Lord. By the way, I could imagine, I don't know about them, but I would be the person where I would still have like those clothes hanging up in the closet. Or whatever. They're like, here, take a whiff. I mean, seriously. Doesn't smell at all. But then sometimes, very sad verses in the Bible. It's easy to Monday morning quarterback and be like, man, you were right there with God. Man, you literally heard from him. And oftentimes I even wonder in our life, how many times if God was to roll back heaven where he was right there with us, but we gave up before the answer came.
Yes, sir.
We quit right when he was getting ready to do it. Madam, you gave a great testimony, and you talked about how God blessed you by you coming to the man of God, seeking counsel. And I wonder what would have happened if you would have just quit right before that. God would have been like, man, I literally had a double blessing coming your way, but you quit right before it was around the corner. We see here in verse 10, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's literally God talking about Reese's there. I got to get God into this thing, whether you like it or not.
Man.
Bacon. Ooh. Can you imagine Reese's and bacon? I have enough to try that out this week. I'll get back to you. He said, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Boy, that is a promise. Lord said, if you do what I want you to do, I've suggested you do, I guarantee you that I will fill it. He said, but my people, who? My people. He's not talking about the world. He's not talking about somebody that doesn't trust him. He's talking about us.
Yes, sir. Amen.
His people, those who are saved, those who have trusted him, he said, would not hearken to my voice. Even a dog knows his master. How you be like, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Hold something out and he's going to be like, mm-mm. Then all the master's like, hey, 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 hey. Boy, he's right there. I remember last year, I had an opportunity of going up in the mountains and meeting a sheep herder, an actual sheep herder. And by the way, sheep are not as cute and cuddly as they look on TV. When I saw those sheep and I was like, ugh. When they were filthy. I mean, gentlemen, they don't take showers. There's no showers. There's no sheep bathtub. There's no nothing. So you can only imagine how nasty they get from the front. And then, of course, we all know back there. But you can only imagine. But boy, you could hear the sheep herder as he was, yeet, boy, and they knew to turn right. And he would make another sound, boy, they knew to turn left. And they knew to follow him and to follow his voice. But God said, my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Ma'am, was it worth it? You not walking in your counsel and actually seeking counsel? I wonder if we just stop there, who else is going through a situation? They need counsel. You know, there's something about going to the man of God and God blessing that. I'm not saying that what he's saying is going to be the spiritual thing. Some of you are going to be like, Pastor, I'm thinking about playing the lottery, and I need some counsel on the numbers. I'm not talking about that. There. All right. 20%? 20%? So he gave them up to their own heart's lust. And then verse 13, it says, all that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. He said, not only would he have taken care of their enemies, but he would have turned their hands to the adversaries.
That's right.
He said, he should have fed them also with the finest of wheat. But his people rejected him. So they never even saw it.
Yes.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your people. Heavenly Father, help us learn from the past. That way we don't repeat it again. Oh, Lord God, help us to be wise. Lord God, because your word is open. Oh, Holy Spirit, will you please guide us? Guide me as I say. Guide others as they listen. Speak to each one of our hearts. Help when we walk out of those doors, we've done business with whatever you have for us. Lord God, we thank you for what you're going to do. In your blessed Son's name we pray. Amen. I've seen some stats and figures that didn't come from the world. It came from some quote-unquote Christians like us. One college was taking a survey, and he began to pass it out to different churches. And he had those different churches ask some of their church members. They just picked a handful of church members, random. Some were new. Some were older, elder. And the one thing that they found out about a lot of people, and of course several people here probably can understand that, is a lot of us fight discouragement. A lot of us fight sometimes things in our life that we can't control. It's one thing if we can control it. If you need more money, work, get another job. We all know these different things, but sometimes there's life happens and we can't control it. Some of you in here, I imagine things have probably been done to you that you had that they had no right of doing to you. Whether it was name, whether it was you being called out of your name, or maybe even some things that are unspeakable that we would never even mention in here that breaks your heart just to think about it. Oh, if we could look at these areas or look at the hearts of the individuals and stuff today, one could argue that bitterness is among us.
Yes,
one could argue that bitterness even could be in our heart. No, we don't want it there. And no, we wouldn't allow it to be there. But oftentimes bitterness creeps up on us. Sometimes it just could be a word that's said by someone else simply because they're going through a rough time. Misery never, never likes being alone. Misery likes company. Therefore, if someone has a bad day and they're going through something, they may say something, not even meaning it, but all of a sudden say something to another church member. Now that other church member is at sorts. And before we realize it, boy, the whole church attitude has changed. Yes, your pastor has protected it, and yes, your pastor has done everything he possibly can, but you know as well as I do, there's some things that could creep up in our heart, and if we don't take care of it, it eventually is going to nip us in the bud.
Yes, sir.
This area of bitterness is a very, very, very important / dangerous thing. Oh, if I could tell you tonight, only if you'd have known that simple thing that God had placed in your life. Yes, it was hard. And yes, it seemed like you couldn't get past it, but God had better things in your life. Oh, we all make the statement, hey, Lord God, I'm surrendered to you. Oh, how many times have you made the statement, Heavenly Father, not only am I surrendered to you, make me a better Christian. Boy, we all, if you've been in church for any length of time, you know, Lord God, you know not to pray this, Lord God, please give me patience. Boy, everybody knows that. No, don't say that. Your kids say that. You're like, what are you saying? You don't tell God that. No. Why? Because we know the only way to get patience is to go through that trial.
Yes, sir.
Or go through that thing. But oftentimes God allows things to come into our life that we wouldn't necessarily vote for. No one likes to be in the fiery furnace.
That's right.
No one likes to be threatened. No one likes to go through those trials and tribulations and those things that they wouldn't wish upon their enemy. But God sees it in a different light. Oh, oftentimes God sees it from a different vantage point. Oh, it's like this. Sir, if God was to bring up something in your life that's very tragic and you would be like, man, I never, ever would want anything or anybody to go through that. Lord God, are you sure that's what you want me to do? Then all of a sudden our Heavenly Father, boy, he throws back the scrolls in heaven and he said, hey, you're at this time in your life. Boy, it's about to happen. It's absolutely going to change everything. It's going to devastate you. But hold on, my friend, because of this devastation and you staying with it, you're going to be able to help all these people.
Yes, sir.
Going to send a ripple through time. And all these people are going to get there. You'd be like, Lord, you would use me in such a way like that? You would say, Heavenly Father, boy, that would hurt me, but boy, that sure would be worth it. But that wouldn't be of faith.
That's right.
That would be of works.
Yes, sir.
But our Heavenly Father is saying, if you trust me,
yes,
that rock in your life, the verse 16 is talking about, could be hard. Could even be hard to swallow. But God's saying, I'm not looking at that rock. I'm looking at the honey or the results that that trial may bring in your life to make you a better person. Oftentimes I sit down with people and boy, oftentimes they can't tell me why they're going through. I've sat down with some people who just lost a little one. Boy, no one would ever dream for anybody to lose their baby or to go through anything like that. But then all of a sudden, several years later, boy, God gave them a ministry and now they're able to minister and help other ladies that are going through the same thing or whatever. And boy, they're able to help and have something that they never ever thought that they would be able to do, but it came through heartache. It came through grief. Oh, that rock in which the Bible's talking about here, that rock is simply the container in which God delivers the honey. Hey, some of you are naturalists. Boy, you like all your essential oils and everything that comes with that. Hey, can I tell you this? There's no more organic or natural thing than honey. And God's saying, if you just listen to me, I'll take care of you. If you just trust me, I can take care of you. But just like anything in life, we have to come to the decision where we can decide to do two different things. We can let that thing that happens in our life make us bitter, or we can let that thing that happens in our life be sweet. It's all on trusting ourselves, trying to figure it out ourselves, or simply give it to the Lord and leave it there. Hey, when we make the statement, Brother Jackson, you don't understand. You don't understand what I'm going through. It literally seems like I'm in a rock in a hard place. Hey, can I tell you? That means that there's honey on both sides. You just got to hang in there. Oh, my soul. Yogi the Bear had it right this whole time. Boy, when he was looking for honey, can I tell you? It's right. Hey, if Kentucky Fried Chicken, Colonel, he had it right too. I thought when I saw this commercial, it was the dumbest thing in the world. But when you apply it to here, it totally makes sense. Boy, if you just trust God, and boy, that honey begins to flow. All of a sudden, you find yourself saying, that is finger-licking good. Oftentimes we can't decide when our trial comes.
Yes.
Oftentimes we can't decide that burden. Maybe some of us is simply that sin that's a thorn in our side. It seems like we can't get victory over it. And it's to the point, not that it's making us bitter over somebody else, is literally making us bitter at ourselves. Boy, we can't stand ourselves. Boy, we can't stand to be with ourselves. Because when we're alone by ourselves, that's when the thoughts come in. That's when the bad ideas come. That's when everything comes. And we literally find ourselves not knowing how to cope. Even getting to the point where bitterness sets in. Hey, can I tell you this? It happens to good as well as it happens to the bad.
That's right.
We had a young man that was, he was a part of the college. He had graduated. Boy, now he's serving in the ministry. Boy, he's helping out with junior church. Boy, God has blessed his family. He has three little ones, and his wife is expecting. Boy, and all of a sudden, boy, we'd work out and do various different things. And boy, it seemed the more we worked out, the more his stomach grew. Boy, oftentimes I would travel, and eventually I would come back, and I'd be like, brother, trying to break a Guinness Book of World Records? Like, what's going on? I didn't know at the time, boy, he was going from doctor to doctor trying to figure out what in the world was happening with him. No one could tell him anything. They would take biopsy after biopsy after biopsy, and nothing would ever come back. Finally, one of the doctors said, I think the best thing for you to do is go down to the Mayo Clinic. He's like, I'll refer you there. We'd take care of it to where the insurance will roll over and be able to help you with this referral. Boy, he found himself there at the Mayo Clinic. When he was there, he said all of a sudden, they said, hey, this thing is of the importance where we want to bring you in. We just want to keep you here until we figure out things, because it's to the point now where it looked like he was about 5 to 6 months pregnant. Boy, he said he found himself there at the Mayo Clinic, and when he was there, he said, man, they were doing every test known to man. He said they kept doing a biopsy. They kept doing another biopsy. They kept doing another biopsy. By the way, this isn't somebody where you say, well, hey, he deserved this, or it's because of his sin or whatever, he has brought this upon himself. This is somebody who's serving God. And he found himself, he said, 8 biopsies into it at the Mayo Clinic. He said every biopsy hurt where it was and where it was located. He said they knew that a tumor was growing, but they didn't know anything about it. Well, oftentimes when they would take the biopsy, they would take a piece of it, send it to the lab. Then the lab would figure out what it is. Then it would hit it with chemo and everything else to figure out how to destroy it. And then after that, they would come back with a plan of action. He said, but nothing would ever come back. He said, finally, the doctor said, hey, we want to do another biopsy. He said, doc, he said, I'm sorry, but I'm a little fed up right now with the biopsies and everything that's going on. He's like, doc, I just want to know what is going on. He said, the doctor said, I don't know how to tell you this. And he just sat on the bed. He said, so I'm just going to be very frank with you. He said, you may have a day, if not two, to live. He's like, the reason why we keep taking biopsies is we're trying to hit it with different chemo. We're trying to hit it with different things. In everything that we do, nothing works. Therefore, we don't have an answer for you. Well, I remember a pastor came down. Boy, and I was out of town, and I came there, and I'm there with him. And, you know, I asked Pastor, and Pastor just tried to turn a negative into a positive. He's like, look, he's like, I'm not sure what God's going to do, what God's plan is here. He said, but sometimes people don't get an opportunity to make sure that home is taken care of before they go and leave this world. He's like, but you have that opportunity, worst case scenario. He's like, you can tell her where the insurance policy is. You can tell her where everything is. You can make sure that she's taken care of. You can answer all of her different questions. We're just trying to make the best out of it because we don't know. Oh, the pastor said this. He's like, I do believe that God still does work miracles. He's like, I tell you what, I just sent a text message to everyone in the church. Everybody in the church is praying. They're sending that to other churches and stuff. He's like, if it's God's will, he's like, man, we're going to pray this thing through. And boy, all that night people were praying and fasting and going to God, just doing what the Lord God had told us to do to get his attention. Well, all of a sudden the phone rang that next morning. When the phone rang that next morning, it was his dad. He was giving me another report of what the doctor said when he came through. And boy, I answered the phone. When I answered the phone, boy, his dad was like, Brother Jackson! Boy, that's not what I was expecting to hear. I was like, hey, brother, how are we doing? What's going on? What'd you hear? And then when the doctor came in, they finally got a result back. He said he's got a fighting chance. But the doctor said he's going to fight. He has to fight to nobody's end. He's like, because the way that they're going to hit it and how aggressive they're going to be, he said, this is going to take every bit of ounce of strength that he has to survive it. But they know they can destroy it. He just has to survive the treatment. Boy, oftentimes I would go there. Boy, when I would go there, I would sit with him and you know, allow the family to go back, to wash up, to do everything. Oftentimes I'd even spend the night with them. Boy, I remember one time I was there, I said, Daniel, how are you doing? How are you really doing? Don't want the politically correct. You know, God's good, brother. I'm just, you know, if I was to, you know, everybody has their little sayings, their little stuff that they automatically throw out there, which is fine. Well, I said, how are you really doing? He said, Brother Jackson, he said, I told God this. If taking my life further his gospel, I'm willing to do it. And I was like, brother, that's pretty big words when you're in the hospital and you can't see the other end. He's like, but I also told God this. If he heals me, I'll make sure that everybody knows that only one person could heal me, and it was him. And he touched me the way that no other doctor could touch me.
Amen.
Can I tell you today, Daniel Jim is cancer-free.
Amen.
He is cancer-free. He is still serving God in Jacksonville, Florida, in the way that he was serving God before. But he has a little bit more bounce in his step. Oh, he has no hard feelings for what had happened. Now he gets an opportunity to go different places that he never ever went before. And he has a story that people want to hear about how good God was to him.
Yeah.
Can I tell you this? I think we all could understand if he got a little bit weary in well-doing. To the point where, boy, he started getting agitated. And that agitated move into something that he never thought that he would ever want to do in another area called bitterness. Boy, we all may not agree, but boy, we all could be like, I could see how someone could get there. But yet he found the honey in that situation. Oh, one could compare this church. I imagine if you go back and you listen to the stories and everything that this church had, I imagine there were some times where this church didn't know how things were going to turn out and didn't know where the money was going to come for the building and didn't know where the money was going to come from for the pavement, didn't know how they were going to get by with with everything and how God was going to do it. But all of a sudden we looked and we learned. And we learned from the Bible and we went to it and we allowed that to govern us. And while we allowed that to govern us, boy, we realized that God does care. And not only does he care, but the saying often says he never comes when we want him, but he always comes on time, and such was due, and all of a sudden someone gave something, someone showed up, and all of a sudden we got a little bit of honey that we were able to take down and, boy, take care of the bacteria and take care of everything that was showing up there to live another day. And now we find ourselves literally swimming in honey. Boy, we had people saved this week. Boy, the baptism was stirred. Hey, do you realize that most churches don't even see that in a year? Being served, most churches, that isn't even filled anymore. But there's honey here.
Yes, sir.
There's honey here. Oh, the only way the honey is going to stay here is you got to protect it. Oh, you got to protect it by protecting oneself. Oh, I'm not asking you to do something for the church. Oh, I'm not asking you to self-examine yourself for someone else to the right of you or someone else to the left of you. I'm asking you to do it for yourself. Hey, this church has a great atmosphere when you walk in. Boy, there's a buzz about it. Hey, protect that buzz by protecting yourself. Oftentimes we pray, Lord God, I want revival. Lord God, bring revival. Revival will never start until it starts with you.
Amen.
There's honey in it. There's honey in it. Sometimes you got to search for it. Sometimes you got to you got to smoke it out. But oftentimes it shows up. Hey, I know that you have temptations. I know that you have problems. I know you have some things. Boy, if we were to go around and, and talk about how bad we have it, boy, there's some of you we would say, hey, oh my soul, you really, really, really have it bad. But according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there's no temptation taking you. That means none. That means any. That means that God can't conquer. Hey, can I tell you this? We're on the winning side. You got to hang in there. You can't give up. You can't stop. God said, I know it's rough. I know you're going through the fire. But he said, hey, my friend, I'm on the other side. In fact, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that means he's in the fire with you. He's protecting you from it. He's just saying, just hang in there. We're about to be on the other side. Just hang in there. This temptation is going to leave you eventually. Just hang in there. Keep trusting me. But our problem is, we allow it to get bigger than us. You ever wonder how someone can get older? And boy, they can be as sweet as pumpkin pie. Or you can find the same person in the same town, in the same church, that's older, and they're as mean as a rattlehead snake. I remember I was there in Montana, boy, we were looking out on this bluff. Boy, it was absolutely beautiful. I'm not going to lie to you. I was not this close to the edge. God had a sense of humor when he made me. I'm 6'9", but terrified of heights. Well, I was like three times the distance as this. Like, oh, yeah, it is beautiful. It's absolutely really, really good. It's great. Well, I was there. I was like, look what God has given us this morning. The sun was rising. When all of a sudden this man was like, yeah, but give it a few minutes, it's going to rain. I was like, well, I mean, yeah, it could, but right now, it's actually pretty good. He's like, yeah, right now it is. I was like, I'm talking about raining on your parade. I remember being in the male clinic with Daniel. But I remember not knowing if he was going to live or he was going to die.
Yes, sir.
I remember being in the waiting room. Did I tell you about coffee? Because at that time, I needed coffee. About 6 in the morning, the sun is beginning to rise. I'm drinking what they call the nectar of the gods.
Yes, sir.
I'm there like, Lord, please help me. Lord, please help me. Boy, there was another mom whose child was going through a similar thing. Boy, I remember the sun was coming up, and I was like, wow, wow, wow. I say, look what God has given us today. She's like, isn't it sweet? She's like, isn't it so sweet? She's like, I prayed today that God would just give us a little something. She's like, my son loves sunrises and sunsets, and oh, so look with this. Boy, she ran into the room, and boy, you could hear her trying to move stuff, and one or two nurses came in because she was setting off alarms and doing everything else, and boy, everybody's trying to move her in because they all heard the story, and they're trying to get their son to see it. Boy, they said his son, boy, he got a real big smile on his face. Or I'd ever seen the sunset there. I mean, seen the sunrise there, boy. All the nurses, they're coming out. Boy, they're all in tears and stuff and wiping away. Why? Because they just got a little glimpse of honey.
Yes.
There's enough bitterness in this world to last all of us and to wear us all down. But our Heavenly Father said if we would just trust Him.
Yes, sir.
Oh, oftentimes in trusting Him, oh, I know we don't want to hear it. We have to forgive. Oftentimes the Bible tells us to forgive those. Oftentimes, even when people don't even deserve it, forgiveness is what's in order.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you this? Forgiveness is not a recommendation. Forgiveness is not something where you go in front of everybody and boy, you raise your hand if I should forgive them. All right, all in order. All right, then we will forgive. Forgiveness is a commandment.
Yes, sir.
Just like thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, forgive.
Yes, sir.
Who do you need to forgive?
Well, that's good.
Oftentimes, I can ask one question this. I can ask one a question, and boy, they can come up with the answer. But I tell them, there's one who comes with us after we're saved called the Holy Spirit. I was like, oftentimes, instead of me just going, trying to do the best that I can, I ask Him to help me. Like, Holy Spirit, will you please help me? Is there anything that I need to get right? And boy, He begins to tell me some people that I need to get some things right with. By the way, it's not that I go up to them and say, because they may not know anything. They may be like, what? What? But boy, I need to get things right. Why? Because that seed can begin to grow into something that I never ever thought it would be. Oh, I remember when I was at camp there in Georgia. When I was there, it was the last day. I was working on a video, and one of the pastor's wives came up to me and said, "Brother Jackson, can I sit with you?" I said, "Sure. Pull up a seat." Boy, she pulled up a seat. She's like, "Don't worry, I already talked to my husband." She's like, "I just want to pick your brain a little bit about a situation." And I was like, "Pick away." And she said, "Brother Jackson, I have some things that are going on." She's like, I just need help with." I said, "Brother Jackson, I love my son. Like, I love him with every fiber of my body." She's like, "But Brother Jackson, he now decided that he doesn't want anything to do with fundamentalism. He doesn't want to be a Baptist. He doesn't want to come to church. That Brother Jackson, he uses words that I'm not going to even say. All right, he calls us every name in the book." She's like, "Brother Jackson, this is my son. This is somebody that I love." And she began to break down and cry and stuff. She's like, she blames us. Or he blames us for everything that he's going through, all of his trials and situations, and how we kept him from enjoying this in life and kept him from enjoying that. Boy, she literally was heartbroken. I said, "Let me ask you this." I was like, "Did you raise him the best that you could?" Boy, tears began to flow. Mom, she's like, "Brother Jackson, I prayed for him pretty much every day that he was there from the time he was born to now." She's like, "I prayed and I prayed and I prayed." I was like, "All right." I was like, "The reason is why I asked this is this." I was like, "Every now or then, everybody in their life has to choose. Either they're going to serve God or they're not." I was like, "But let it be said, no matter what his final choice is, let it be said that when he looks back, he always sees mom serving God. He always sees mom being faithful." I was like, maybe even sometimes, some point in times in your life where you're not going to want to go to church and you're not going to do things, not with COVID symptoms, but you're not going to want to go, but I was like, "You still need to show up. You still need to be found faithful." Whatever. She said, "Okay," and we talked a little bit more, and she walked away, because you can say weary and while doing. Well, you can still tell that she was still hurting. That was her baby. Well, a year had went by, and now I find myself there at camp again, and arriving there early, and I'm trying to get some stuff situated and help them, and then all of a sudden, boy, they're like, "Hey, is Sister so-and-so?" Mind you, it's in Georgia. Everybody is either brother or it's sister. Whatever. They're like, "Sister so-and-so find you?" I'm like, "No, I haven't seen her at all." They're like, "Oh, well, she's looking for you." I was like, "Okay, great, thank you." Well, and I remember and I came in front of somebody else, and they're like, "Hey, did Sister so-and-so find you?" I'm like, "No, I haven't seen her." Or whatever. I was like, "I know that she's looking for me." They're like, "Yeah, she's looking for me." Boy, and I went from that place, and I was walking across this big field. When I was walking across the big field, I heard, "Oh, Brother Jackson! Oh, Brother Jackson!" And I looked over, and all of a sudden, she's like, "Brother Jackson!" And boy, she was wearing a dress, and she can only run so fast in a dress. Whatever, and here she is. Boy, she hiked that up. Boy, she's, "Brother Jackson! Boy, she's coming across, and I'm like, "Whoa, sister, slow it down. I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here." She's like, "Brother Jackson," she's like, she's like, "You probably don't even remember this conversation." She's like, I talked to you last year." I was like, "Yes, you talked to me about your son." She's like, "Yeah." She's like, "Brother Jackson," she's like, "there was a point in time," she was like, "well, I was really discouraged." She's like, "it was to the point where my heart was broken. Like, he didn't want anything to do with anything." She's like, "every now and then he would call me." She's like, "Brother Jackson, one time," she's like, "I was sick." She's like, "I didn't want to go to church. It was Sunday." She's like, "but then those words came in. You still need to be faithful. You still need to be where you're supposed to be." More than that, she said, all of a sudden, she's like, "you know what? I need to get ready." And she got ready, and she said she went to church. And when she went to church, on her way to church, she called, or her son called. And when her son called, he found out that mom was sick. All right, I mean, he wanted to do something for mom. So he... he decided to go to the house or to pick up some soup. And he picked up some soup and he brought it by his parents' house. And when he brought it by his parents' house, everything was dark. And he figured, man, mom is really, really sick. Whatever, all the lights are out. She's already in bed. Boy, so he went there and knocked on a door and he opened the door. And boy, the bed was still made. Nobody was in there. And he said, where in the world could mom possibly be? And then it hit him. It's Wednesday night. And all of a sudden he knew where mom was. Boy, he came back outside, and when he came back outside, boy, his wife was there, and she's like, hey, I thought you made that, or we picked that up for your mom, and he said, we did. She's like, well, what are you going to do now? He's like, well, mom's not here, and we're going to where mom is. She's like, well, where is that church? So all of a sudden, he showed up there to church. She's like, Brother Jackson, I'm not going to lie to you. She said, Brother Jackson, my husband is what they call long-winded. She's like, so here we are, boy, we're starting church, and she's like, he's 15 minutes into his sermon. And he's like, honey, can you do me a favor? Can you go ahead and step to the piano? She's like, Lord, I must be really sick. Did he just say step to the piano? He's like, honey, please, please step to the piano. He said, she came over there and he stepped to the piano. And she said she began to pray or play. And she said as she was playing, she said all of a sudden, boy, the doors opened up in the back of the church. And the preacher was like, hey, some of you need to do business with God. Do business now. And they said her son was literally there at the door. She said all of a sudden her son, there were some people that were making their way through the aisles and they weren't making their way through the aisles fast enough. Boy, and her son began to make her way through everybody. Excuse me. Get out of the way. She's like, Brother Jackson. She's like, I saw my son. She's like, Brother Jackson. It began to rain in the church. She's like, Brother Jackson, I was praying and I was like, Lord Jesus, please take the piano. She's like, Lord Jesus, this is the time I've been praying. My baby's walking the aisle. She's like, Brother Jackson, there was snot and boogers and stuff flying everywhere. She's like, oh, Lord God, please. She's like, all of a sudden, I heard, excuse me. She said, I looked up and now it's my son's daughter, whatever, who's coming to down the aisle, or my son's wife, and she's coming down the aisle. She's like, before I could do anything, she said, my husband said, hey, stop playing the piano. I want you to come here. Boy, she said, she's like, Brother Jamie, I look like a hot mess. She's like, my makeup and mascara and everything was just all over the place. She's like, I began to make my way. She said, my son grabbed the mic and he said, Mom, I'm sorry that I was the burden to you. He's like, Mom, I know that you stayed up crying many of nights for me. He said, but Mom, I want to thank you for never changing, for never giving in. He's like, Mom, every time I saw you, I saw God. He's like, every time I saw Dad, I knew where I was supposed to be. He's like, Mom, I just want you to know because of your faithfulness, your son's coming home. I was able to meet that young man not too long ago. She could have got bitter. She could have got bitter at fundamentalism just like he did. And she never ever would have got her son back.
That's right.
But she remained faithful and true.
Yes, sir.
And because of that, things changed. And now her son, who was even bitter, has come back to the fro.
Amen.
When the Lord talks about this thing of forgiveness, he's pretty serious. When the Lord tells us to do it, he means it. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, it says, and when we stand praying, forgive. Maybe some of our problem is we don't pray. Oh, we pray over our food. Oh, we say, Lord God, thank you. Good. Boy, we're finished. Boy, or maybe some of us just say that prayer that we always pray. Oh, the Bible calls it vain babbling. When we just say the same thing, we just go over it. You know, ho-hum, Lord God, I'm here, forgive me, thank you, amen. And we go throughout our day. When's the last time you prayed until it burned within? When's the last time you prayed until you knew that God heard you? Not the preacher. Not Brother So-and-so prayer, but heard your prayers. When's the last time you fasted in prayer? Oh, this is a very serious matter. Getting a hold of God, there is nothing like it. When's the last time you read your Bible until it burned within?
Yes.
Well, I remember Dr. Lee Robertson, when he came to college, boy, they asked him about reading his Bible and how many verses did he read a day. He's like, young man, that's the difference between you and me. He's like, I read until my heart burns within. Well, we all felt pretty small. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Boy, that's meeting each other's needs. Sister so-and-so, I know you're going through a rough time. Is there anything I can do? Boy, you're tender to the needs of others. Boy, you're tender to the thing. Boy, I remember hearing stories of Brother Howes and how he was driving through Texas. And as he was driving through Texas, they said literally he would break down and he would start crying. And he would start being emotional. And my preacher said he would go and pull over when he would pull over because he was so emotional and literally shaking and sobbing. He would say, well, you know, what's wrong? Is everything okay? Talk to me. What in the world's going on? He's like, I wonder in this town if there's a church that loves these people. I love them enough to tell them the truth and tell them that Jesus saved. And like, I wonder if there's a young man who was beaten, battered like I was. I wonder if there's a Sunday school teacher that cares and loves for these individuals, or that tenderhearted. Was there, can I ask you this? When's the last time you did something for someone in the church?
Yes.
Oh, we all can do stuff for other people, yes, out there in the world. And yes, we should if the Holy Spirit pricks our heart. But when's the last time you were sensitive to someone else's needs besides your own? Amen. Oh, oftentimes this world tells us to get ours. But oftentimes God tells us to be tenderhearted. The exact opposite. Not only does it say, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Oh, there's that word again, forgiving. You know, Brother Jackson, you don't understand what they have done to me. I've been in some situations where I'm like, oh, my soul. You're right. I don't understand. But he does.
Amen.
Well, I've been in situations, why would a God like that you serve, why would he do that? I was like, he's also a just God. Hold on. With him being a just God, he can't just, boom, make that bad. Just go away. I was like, a lot of times he has to let it play out. I was like, just like we would want somebody who's giving us something, boy, we would want to let it play out. Boy, if somebody wants to give me a Lamborghini Diablo, I'm like, nobody stop them. Nobody stop them. Let them come. Right over there, I mean, I'll have it for a day and then I'll eventually sell it because I can't even afford the oil in that thing. Yeah. Oh, no, I can fit. I've already went to the car place and sat in. In fact, they took a picture. They're like, we didn't think that somebody with your ability could fit in there. And he took it and he sent it in the Lamborghini. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27 says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemy.
Yes, sir.
Love my enemy? How in the world can I love my enemy? Pray for him.
Yes, sir.
You know what? It's hard for you to hate something when you pray for it.
Yes,
sir. Yeah,
tell me who you pray for and I'll tell you who you love.
That's right.
Some of you, the reason why you don't get victory in that area is because you don't pray for it. The reason why you don't see success, you don't come to God with boldness asking for help in that area. If I was to be honest, maybe some of our prayer life is flatline. Maybe some of us need a little boost again, because if we don't, bitterness is going to kill us. Bitterness is going to eat at us. You say, Brother Jackson, that's why I'm here in church for now. It's just a matter of time. Oh, you make up some excuse. Oh, you blame it on COVID like everybody blames everything else. And you find yourself somewhere where you're not supposed to be. But when we read verse 16 again, it says, and he should have fed them also with the finest of wheat. God had the best intentions when he made you. God wanted the best for you. Oh, can I tell you this? How many of you have ever eaten at Ruth Chris Steakhouse? Oh, let me tell you. If you have, you're probably like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Ruth Chris Steakhouse, I had the opportunity more of of taking two or three college groups there, and you know, with the whole college there, and renting out the place and doing stuff, and I got to see a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. Can I tell you, they use a lot of preparation to prepare that steak. Oh, when I went in there, she's like, "Oh, great, we just received a new shipment of steaks." Boy, we begin to walk in there, and we walked in there. Boy, these people looked like they were mad scientists. Boy, they had these goggles and stuff on them, and their eyes were like that. They're like sitting there, boy, and they're looking at this stuff, and they're looking at the steaks, and they're examining it. Make sure that it has the consistent marble that is acceptable for them.
Yes, sir.
Boy, they had a style that they were rejecting, and I was like, what do they do with that rejected? Because I don't really care how marble it truly is. She said, "We only accept the top 3% of steaks in the world." And I was like, amen. Boy, she walked me over to the cooler, and when she walked me over to the cooler, each cooler had its own shelf for the steak. Each steak had its own little shelf. And it had a blue light that was shining on it to make sure the bacteria never sets in. She said, "Oh, I would walk you in, but you're not in the right apparel to walk in." I told her, "Hey, I'll just reach in and grab one and pull it right back out if you want me to." Boy, can I tell you this? Boy, I sure was glad when we had that banquet. And boy, all of a sudden you heard something that you only hear like when you're at Chili's and they're bringing out fajitas and stuff. Then all of a sudden, boy, this is the Ruth Chris way. Boy, that steak came out and there was... And I was like, "For me?" Boy, she brought that and she was like, "Can you please hold your napkin up?" Boy, I was, whoop. Boy, I looked like a little dog. Boy, I hold it and she brought it right there and she put it in front of me. Boy, I made the mistake. She was like, "Is it where you want it to be?" "Absolutely. Yeah, it's where I want it." Boy, she took a few steps back. I'm a little weird. It wasn't exactly centered. When I went to go move it, she was like, "Sir, that's why we asked you." "I won't touch it again." Because it's over 500 degrees, your plate. It's designed to where your first bite is the same temperature as your last bite.
Yes, sir.
That's the best that man can do. So I wonder, when God said, "I want to give you the finest of the wheat," what he had planned for us.
Yes, sir.
But we never went to him. We never got things right. We never dealt with it with the Lord, and we tried to figure it all out by ourselves. I believe the Bible calls that pride.
Yes, sir.
And pride is a sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Someone needs to have a gut check tonight. Oftentimes when I preach sermons, I don't know who it's meant for. Tonight I was like, "Lord God, are you sure we want to preach on bitterness? Lord God, we just had this stuff done. Lord God, we had everything done." Sometimes I think we preach things is not for the sin that we're dealing with now. Sometimes it's for some things in the future that come.
Yes, sir.
Where that principle's already been set. Where that thing comes, well, we're just going to keep trusting God.
Yes, sir.
We're not going to look back. We're going to make the best of this situation.
Amen.
Can I tell you this? There's honey in the pot. There's honey in that rock. There's honey in that trial and that situation. But you got to deal with it.
Yes, sir.
Can't keep ignoring it, hoping that it goes away. You say, "Brother Jackson, this is a crazy situation," and it could be. Take it to God.
Yes, sir.
By the way, there's nothing like taking it to God and leaving it there. "Lord God, it's in your hands. I am washing my hands just like the priest who put you on trial, who found you guilty, and then all of a sudden the people started yelling stuff, and then he was like, hold on, he is not guilty, and he washed his hands of the blood of Jesus that was going to be applied." Are you bitter tonight? Remember what I said at the beginning? I said, you may not be bitter at someone else, but some of you need to forgive yourself. Some of us are our biggest critics. Why in the world would you say that? Why in the world would you do that? Hey, can I tell you my sin? Why in the world would you say that someone you're going to allow somebody to call you sister? Remember that this morning? Boy, can I tell you, that'll probably haunt me. When I said that, I wasn't talking necessarily about pastor or anybody saying that. I was talking about me, like thinking back and being like, why in the world would you say that? Why would you just think before you, oh, that was so stupid. Why in the world would you do that? Why? We are worst critics. Don't let it take you somewhere that God didn't mean for it to take you. He has the best intentions for you. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. Let's serve him and find that honey that's in that rock.